Blog Talk Radio.
Keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes, pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe, you bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big V8, keep my friends the same. Keep the government out of my business and y'all can keep the change. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need, we know who to blame. United Socialist States of America, how do you like that name? The USA, and y'all can keep the change. Friends want to put me down, ask for my opinion, then twist it all around. Supposed to be talking about my father's new CD. Well, two can play that gotcha game, just wait and see. Don't tread on me. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need, we know.
If you guys can hear me, somebody type in or say something. Hi, Bill and Ron, you're on. And I got 941. I think that's Robert. And welcome also Mike from Hot Seat. You guys there?
Hey, Linda.
Okay, I got
hello, everybody.
Hey, Robert, Ron, and Bill, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Awesome. This is Patriot Family Chat, and I had to refresh because I had no live mics. It was weird.
So. Crazy. The internet's been acting nuts all day.
Yeah,
and it's been a total crazy day.
Really lucky that I didn't have to do the pin thing, because usually that doesn't work for me, whether I have a keyboard or not. It's crazy. So, yeah. Anyway, I just hit the refresh or reload when I hit the question mark thing where, you know, on Bill's line, so we're good. Okay, Bill, take it away, because I know you got some stuff to talk about.
Well, you know, today I was watching the GOP's convention, and, you know, I've never come out and supported any candidate at the moment at all, but when you change rules in the middle of everything...
The middle scene at the end of the game. You're at the goal line, you're going to change the rules. Come on.
Well, the whole thing is, you know, here we are out here fighting for what's right and what's fair and all this and that. And you do something like this and you expect me, I'm an independent, and you expect me to support you then? And you're shutting up the voice of the grassroots and the Tea Party and stuff from the conventions. That's something wrong within the GOP when that's going on.
Now, Bill, I want to step in here for just a minute because I know what you're talking about. I want to give you an example, okay, of just how insane this really is. We have a local host here called Eric Erickson, okay? He does a radio show on a local radio station, and he also is the guy that runs redstate.com, if you've ever gotten anything from them.
Yeah, I talked to Eric on Facebook.
Yeah, he's a jackass. On his radio show tonight, as I'm coming home, right? He said, "Oh, and we've got big news about a rules change at the RNC from right here on the floor that really created a lot of tussle." He said, "And basically, you know, they're trying to eliminate the grassroots campaigns like Rick Santorum."
Unbelievable.
To me, the Republican establishment flat out telling you they fear we the people.
They damn sure do. I've told you guys, Ron Paul scares the shit out of these guys. He absolutely scares the hell out of them.
And he's not the only one. You look around the congressional districts and the fighting going on. I mean, the RNC's been fighting Alan West as much as the Democrats have. Because
absolutely.
He scares them.
Because
he don't follow their limp-wristed sissy-fied tactics. He tells you how straight up. He'll put it out there. If he's wrong, hey, he's wrong. But he doesn't back off. He puts it out there. Ron Paul put out plans and stuff. When you come together at this moment to do what you just did, I as an independent, I can't give you no more credibility than I can the Democratic Party because I don't see the difference.
I'm telling you, Robert, you don't know what happened, evidently.
Yeah, I do. You don't know what happened in my house today. Yeah, you have no clue what happened to me. This is Linda. You would be very proud of me.
What's going on?
I was getting out of the shower. I was in a towel. And Florida Power Light comes to my meter was red 2 days ago, right?
Yeah.
A Florida Power Light comes again. He says, "I'm here to read your meter." I said, "The reader was red two days ago." He says, I'm here to put your smart meter in.
Uh oh.
Right?
Did you drop your towel?
Oh. No, I thought that. This is what I did, Ron.
That would have ran him off.
This is what I did, Ron. I had my towel. I fell my tennis shoes with my towel on. I didn't care what the neighbors thought of me at this point.
Now,
in time,
there's
right?
a visual. Holy cow.
There you go. You can attest to my, you know, you can attest to that, right?
Retinal retention is a bad thing.
So, Ron, I said, "Meet me out in my garage." And I come out with my towel on, with my tennis shoes, like ready to be a stripper, right? And he goes, "I'm here to put your smart meter in." I said, "No, you're not." He goes, "Why not?" I said, "Hey, you didn't send me a notice." I said, "My sister got a notice. I know a lot of people got notices. But I never received one through email, nor my PO, nor my home address. So therefore, as far as I'm concerned, you're not allowed to put a smart meter in my house. Period." And I said, "Not only that, you didn't give me the opportunity to opt out. So the moral of the story is, FPL is nothing but Marxism, fascism, and socialism all combined.
Yep.
Have a nice day. See you.
So you got rid of him?
I got rid of him. He was, he was 6'2", he weighed almost 200 pounds, and he was shaking like a leaf. I said, not only that, sir, and said, since everybody thinks I'm psychotic, I'm going to act psychotic.
He was probably concerned that you might drop the towel, Robert.
I had him shaking, Ron.
I can imagine.
It was wild. I said, I played the part. I should be on Clockwork Orange right now.
If I'm the Florida Power and Light guy, I'd have looked at you and said, is that kosher?
So you know what the guy did? He says, well, I have to take a picture of your meter, and I have to read it again. I said, you have my blessings. And I said, you're lucky I even let you do that.
When he said, I have to take a picture of your meter, you should have said, can I leave my towel on? He would have said, I'm sorry. He'd say, I thought you said something else. Never mind.
But at that point, Ron, he could have kept his cell phone. He could have kept his cell phone intact. I had him so frazzled.
I was very proud
of myself. I have to admit, I don't brag about myself, but this time I must say I almost. If someone deserves an Academy Award for that, I think I do.
Well, I got to tell you, Bill, this has gone south very quickly today in Louisville.
Yes.
But I'm having a good time.
I got a question to ask. Has anybody heard about delegates that were not let off the buses to vote?
Oh, my God, no.
No.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I've read it in the tweets, I've read it on other things, and I haven't, I can't expect the news to tell me crap. So I'm wondering about all this stuff, because if this is kind of things going on, then...
Oh, I can almost guarantee you that is accurate and true. Based on my involvement with the Ron Paul campaign in the 2008 election, okay, and then my involvement in the 2012 election, I can certainly tell you that they have worked at every single level within the Republican Party to disallow any representation of Ron Paul whatsoever.
I know.
Our own state Republican Party chairwoman made it very plain at the state convention that Ron Paul was not going to be allowed any representation from Georgia, period. Now, going back to the 07-08 campaign, we learned a lot, you see, back then. And originally, when I went down, I missed our precinct mass, or I didn't miss the mass meeting. I made our mass meeting at my precinct in my county. But they had redrawn the district, and so I was no longer in the voting precinct that I thought I was in. I was in a new one, and I put down the wrong precinct number. So I was disallowed.
Wow.
I didn't find out until I got to the county convention. I was left out. And the rules were such at that time back in 08 that if you did not attend the mass meeting in your precinct, you could not move on to the county level and become a delegate or an alternate. And I think that is perfectly fine, and I don't have a problem with that. So this year, all the Ron Paul supporters attended the precinct mass meetings. Guess what? We get to the county convention, and wouldn't you know it, there's all these people there that work for the mass meetings. they said, oh, well, you don't have to be at the mass meeting to be a delegate or an alternate at the county convention. They said, well, that's not the way it was before. Oh, well, yeah, they had a rules change.
Wow.
So what they do is the table that I was at, there were three people, myself and two others. The two other people that were at my table, three people showed up for my precinct out of a total that we were allowed of 32, 16 delegates and 16 alternates. Three people. The other two people were the former party chairman and his wife. So they're filling in all the slots with names that they've got on a list, okay, of their cronies.
Well, that's what they were doing today at the convention.
Well, precisely. And you see, now in 2008, Mitt Romney, no less, Mitt Romney, one of his supporters, threatened to file a lawsuit because he was in a state that had bound delegates, much like I am here in Georgia. Everyone
right.
was elected as a delegate to the national convention here in Georgia had to sign a pledge saying that they would not vote for any other candidate than Newt Gingrich in the first few rounds of voting. Now, the National Republican Party has a rule that they don't recognize bound delegates. The delegates are free to vote their conscience. So Romney's supporter threatened a lawsuit, and he wrote a letter to the RNC back in 08, and he got a response. And the response was exactly that. The Republican National Committee does not recognize any bound delegates. Delegates are to vote their conscience.
Wow.
To vote for Romney, but his state said he had to vote for McCain, and he didn't want to. He couldn't stomach the idea. So this year, we get all the way up to the point where they're going to cast ballots, and the first thing they do is they institute a rules change that says if you're a bound delegate, you have to vote for whoever you're bound to, and if you don't, you'll be removed from the convention and your vote will be cast for whoever you were supposed to vote for.
Oh. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, this is creating a lot of stir. But I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised in the least bit. I know you guys have seen some of the videos that have gone on where, you know, Ron Paul supporters were there at the conventions and they were clearly in the majority and they were overruled. In 2008 in Nevada, it was so blatant that during the convention, one of the McCain supporters, one of the head, they went back and threw the main power switch to the breaker box at their county convention, or state convention, sorry, state convention. And so they had to call the convention. And then they sent out emails to their cronies reconvening the convention in secret the next day so they could put it through their delegate. And yet, people say, you know what, I'm going to go out and vote. And I'm like, you're wasting your time. You're a damn slave, and you're a fool if you think that your vote counts.
For the presidential.
But they've demonstrated, start to finish, that they have not an ounce of integrity in the process. And if the rules work against them, they'll simply change the damned rules.
Sure. Yeah, it's a tough road to hoe. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, that's why, you know, I look at it, and like I said, I'm an independent, and I'm desperately looking for someone who's going to save my country, and I'm looking for right to rule over wrong, and then you do something like this, I can't support your party when you do that. I just can't.
Exactly.
Wrong is wrong. Wrong is wrong, and to make yourself just as low as the Democratic Party when you do something like this, you're going to lose votes. You're going to lose them.
And I'm here to tell you, this is an example, ladies and gentlemen, what you're witnessing up there, this is an example of how a Romney administration will be run.
My God.
You know, it's whoever does the best favors under the table, grease my palm, capital cronyism. I'm telling you, I have no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, it's just slower. it's
the American people are so damned ignorant and so indoctrinated into the war mentality. If you consider yourself to be a serf, you have to adhere to two ideologies. One, Israel is the beginning and the end of the entire world, and we have the abject right and obligation to invade every damn little foreign tin hat dictator around the world that doesn't agree with Israel.
Right.
And we'll use our by-God military to do it. If you don't agree with those two, then you've got no business being in the Republican Party.
Well, right now we've got an administration and stuff that is setting up the Muslim Brotherhood for total power, not only in the Middle East, but they're setting them up here.
Oh, did you guys see that thing on the Blaze? There was a video about the Juma prayer for 2 hours starting on the 31st at the DNC, and they expect 20,000 Muslims. Yeah.
Now, here's something. Women who support Obama can't look at that and know what's coming at them. And for you liberal women, what it means.
Bill, you're talking about women that would dress up in a costume as a walking vagina.
Well, I know that, Ron, but the same point is this. For these liberal women that support that, when Sharia law comes in, well, that's just giving us conservative guys the right to come up and beat you in the ground whenever you open your mouth. That's what Sharia law means for women.
Well, exactly.
And for gays, it means worse. It means you'll be killed.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and the code came
through. You support it.
You know,
they're all for it.
I sent that video from the Blaze to a couple of my, well, one's a conservative, one's a liberal, and all I said in the top of my email was, have you guys seen this? So I wanted them to see. And then there was on the background of this video, especially about the two-minute mark of this Muslim guy speaking, I mean, all the people who endorsed this nonsense, and of course it was the Democratic Socialist was one of them, and of course every other left-leaning piece of garbage organization and foundation out there on the planet. It was the wall was like wallpapered with every evil organization out there. It was unbelievable.
Okay. Now, with all of this in mind, all right, and this is why I kind of jumped on your buddy Ken the other day.
Yeah.
Okay. With all of this in mind, can you honestly, sitting back and thinking about this from with not an emotional standpoint, but looking at everything that's going on, can you honestly tell me that you don't believe that this whole thing is being staged? You've got Obama the Muslim, right? And, you know, I mean, you've been given every opportunity and reason to believe that the man is Muslim, okay? And then you've got the Republican side and rah-rah cheerleaders for Israel, and that's supposed to make you a Christian. Can we not see that this is being set up? The stage is being set.
Yep.
Well, I got this to say about the whole thing. I believe you're a fool if you think you can pull everything. I mean, I agree we don't need our troops over there, but I think you're a fool if you think trying to be trade and all this and be nice to the Muslims is going to get you anywhere. They have world conquest on their mind, and nothing will change that. You're either going to fight them there or you're going to fight them here.
And, hey, you know what? I don't disagree with that, Bill, but I think, you know, and there's things that you can say and things that you can't say in the public eye. And I think that, you know, I'd like to think at least that I'm able to read between the lines of what Ron Paul has said. It's not a matter of wanting to trade with the Muslims. We trade with them every day. Saudi Arabia, we're trading with them in spades. Okay? We're trading with...
Don't we got to pick that up?
We're trading
pick that
with
up.
The United Arab Emirates.
Not the sidewalks.
So we're trading with Muslim countries. We don't want to trade with Muslim countries that don't see things our way. Iran. They won't capitulate. Now,
right.
Ron Paul, what he's saying is, look, what good has it done you? Let's look back at our foreign policy since the end of World War II. What has it gained the United States of America versus what has it cost us in blood and treasure to maintain all these bases around the world? You couldn't stop 9/11 if you truly believe that it was Islam and Muslims that pulled that off. And I think that's suspect at best.
Right.
So we have spent trillions of dollars to keep alive the appearance. And all it is a damn, it's a circle jerk.
It's crazy.
If we had all those troops here at home, it would do one thing immediately. That money would be spent here at home. It would be a boost to our economy immediately.
Right.
That's not a long-term solution, but it is a short-term solution. There is not a country, not a single country on the face of the globe that has a pair big enough to try and attack the United States in the United States.
Right.
To actually commit an actual act of war against the U.S., it would be suicide, and they damn well know it.
So, Robert, what happened?
What happened was my dog accidentally went on the sidewalk in Lombok Key, and I had to pick it up.
Okay. I couldn't tell.
Number two, I just want to say, the end of the destruction of Israel is not in nobody's hands but God's. So, you know...
Well, that's the other thing. It makes me beat my head against the wall.
You're gonna beat your head against the wall like an epileptic to the day you die. Then.
Well, you're right. It's maddening.
I'm talking to you like a brother here. You're gonna beat your head against the wall. Nobody can change.
I know. I understand all that. I understand all that.
But let me explain.
But people can change. I change. You know,
let me explain to you. Let me give you a Jewish word. And I got to get this off my chest before I die. Okay? I got to get it off my chest. It's a Jewish word, and you probably have heard it. It's called Goyim, G-O-Y-E-M.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
And what that means, Ron, let me give you the true definition of what Goyim means.
Yeah. Goyim is everybody but a Jew.
No. You're wrong. You're 100% wrong. I'll tell you why. And I'm not a no-go at all, and I'm not a soothsayer, and I don't claim to be a no-go. But I'm telling you how my father explained it to me before he died. And what the true meaning of a Goyim is that he was raised to hate Jews till he was born. He will die to hate Jews until he dies. And that's the true authentic definition of a Goyim. Now, if y'all don't classify that as if you, either one of you are not a Goyim, then you're not a Goyim.
Well, it sounds to me like a Muslim.
But that's my whole point. I mean, you know, I gotta do, you know what? Just got the dog, the two girls. On a slide at Lombok Key, watching the sailboats right now, and I'm enjoying life as we speak. So my last words to everybody on the radio show is this. You're not going to change a spade will always be a spade, and you can't change a spot on a leopard's fur.
Right.
Period.
Robert, that sounds racist.
No, it's not. I'm the first one to admit that I'm not.
I'm kidding you.
But Ron, I was raised to almost to be what I saw. I was raised in the 50s and 60s. I saw it all. I saw the whole thing. I saw the white water fountains, white, you know, the blacks sitting on the at the end of the bus, just like the voters couldn't go to vote on the bus. I mean, we've never been in a free society. Period. We were never free. You know? And I'm getting first hand experience now. I'm going through a lot of tape right now at my university, and they're kicking me down the road because of my diagnosis. So you know what? I don't care anymore. I don't care what happens to this world anymore. Because you know why? I know I can sleep at night. I took care of my parents. I gave them proper burials. I did the right thing. And I don't have to do no more. I have no responsibility but to take care of myself. And that's it. You know? So, you know, we can sit here 24/7, feed our brains out about capital cronyism, the way it's going. We already know where it's headed, and we already know we're controlled. I mean, we can't stop it. If we could stop it, we would be in Washington, D.C., trying to get our heads into the White House and making Obama smoke a pack of cigarettes before he leaves office.
True.
That's how I feel about the whole situation.
Well, here's the thing. You know, what I was referring to earlier, Ron, about that video clip with the Muslims. When you look at the people that are involved with support and run the media, et cetera, who are hip with these clowns in the Democratic Party, doesn't that kind of make you a little crazy? I mean, you know, the Communist Party USA and the Democratic Student Socialists, it's crazy. They're not even hiding it.
It is crazy. And, you know, I guess I shouldn't get so worked up about this because it's one of those things. You know, it's a two-way street. It cuts both ways. A good friend of mine during the election last time around in 2008, he was just beside himself that they were going to elect Obama. And I gave him some advice then, and I should follow my own advice now. And that advice was, you know, there's an old saying, you give them enough rope and they'll hang themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the beauty of what's going on right now,
right,
the one positive thing
right
about what's transpiring and unfolding before our very eyes on both sides,
okay,
is they are all exposing themselves
right
exactly who and what
they are. I know. Oh, yeah. It's so clear. It really is.
Now, that doesn't give me a lot of solace going into the next 4 years. But at least we know the veil is off.
Right.
And they're right out in the open, naked as a jaybird, and everybody can see that the emperor has no clothes regardless of who it is.
Right. I know. You know, here's what I'm doing, and I know you guys know how crazy I am and how busy I am, but what happens is, unfortunately, and I know Mike's going to probably get on a plane and come to California because he's so sick of Connecticut when he hears this, I've got a ton of people around me within driving distance of 5 to 10 minutes in any direction, and I've got Tea Party people all around me. I don't even have to go outside that radius. These people come to me. They come from Minnesota. They England, they come from everywhere in the world in the United States to show their wares, like Bradley Dean, Sons of Liberty, Lord Monckton comes all the way from the UK. I mean, it's amazing. And so I get to meet these people, and then I've got people running for office who walk up to me and call me by name because I've been at these meetings, and they come to me. We're vetting them. We're asking questions. I've been calling them. At the end of this week, I'll be walking precincts for the people because I want to be involved. And then if things don't go the way I have a reason to bitch because I've gone out and done something. I'm not sitting on my couch. At least I'm trying. You know, so that's, I think that's what we should do.
That's all we can do, Linda. You're right. You're right. I mean, we're all trying. But, you know, the point of the matter is no one's listening. I mean, that's the bottom line. We've been beating our heads against the wall since I've been on the show since July. I mean,
right.
My God. I mean, we solved the problem, we solved the whole puzzle. We solved the whole puzzle 3 months ago. Right, Ron?
Yeah.
Basically.
But, you know, people are listening. And I can promise you that there were a lot of people, and still are a lot of people, at that convention right now.
Right.
That were not Mitt Romney supporters, that were not Ron Paul supporters,
okay,
who are now suddenly identifying with Ron Paul's camp because they've been just as disenfranchised.
Sure. Oh my
as
God.
The Paul folks. So there are people listening and eyes are being opened. So that's a positive thing. The only negative to that is we have to wait for another election cycle.
I know.
To try and go in and make an impact.
Right.
But you know, one of my guys asked me today, one of my techs, and he's, you know, not into politics and he's not into all this stuff.
Right.
And he's actually in the National Guard and he's going to be shipping out to Afghanistan next year. He already knows that. So they're on orders, their training's been stepped up and all this.
Right.
So he'll be round three for him.
Sure.
And he was asking me some questions, and I told him, I said, you know what? The fundamental issue, like you hear all these politicians up there talking, and they're talking about saving Medicare or security.
Right.
Automatically know they're full of shit. Just that
right.
quick. Because they absolutely fail to address the problem. They don't come out and say, look, I've got to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem. And we can't just keep putting it off.
Right.
Creative way to finance this.
They won't tell you
something
the truth.
Has to be done. It's not going to be fun, but it has to be done.
Right.
We've got to get this under control. It is completely out of control.
So
it's a bad idea to start with, and
yeah.
Now no one, we're seeing the reason why.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Now, the question would be, let's say between now and the next cycle, those of the people who want to be involved and become delegates, et cetera, can you not work between now and the next cycle inside the game to fix things or make a difference? In the
yeah.
Delegates and
yes, you can, and not this year's convention because this is an even numbered year. The way it works is
right.
Next year, okay, when there are no big elections or anything going on,
uh-huh.
That's when the rule changes are really uh-huh. focused on.
Okay.
So that's when you want to have a large presence where you can get the rules changed. So
sure.
that they're equitable for everyone and not this
right.
garbage they put today.
Got it. Okay,
but,
well, there's a couple people at the Vista Tea Party, and Ken is one of them, but Lee DeMeo is another one, who could probably walk me through that, because these guys, they kind of know how to do it because they've been involved and they've also won his running for office. They understand how these things work, how these conventions work, et cetera, so... I will keep in close contact with those folks. Maybe, you know, maybe our group can do something. We're trying.
Yeah,
so.
If you've never been to one of the conventions, it's something to behold because, you know, the good old boys are firmly entrenched.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll have nominations from
like.
The floor. You might have 120, 130 people. Of course, yours will probably be much larger.
Yeah.
But, so you got 600 people. Yeah. someone will stand up, one of the cronies,
right,
and say, you know, point of order, and the chairman will recognize him because it's his buddy. And he'll say, I move that we, you know, change rule 364 to say this. And immediately one of the other cronies says, I'll second that. And so ordered.
Oh, my God.
And it changed that quick. Before anyone has a chance to object, I mean, it's just, you're like, what the hell just happened?
That's horrible.
It is.
Yeah, no wonder you
went
back.
Linda?
Go ahead.
I have a question for you guys. My question is, when I got my two bone teeth pulled, when I went into my oral surgeon's waiting room, guess what they did to me?
What they did?
They made me go in front of a camera to take my picture before they gave them my insurance card. I gave my driver's license.
You know what that's called?
They took my picture. Now, what's the big deal of immigration reform to make sure everybody's vote is counted properly? Well, I don't get it.
It's called facial recognition software.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you don't even want to go to a dentist office anymore. It's horrible. I'm so tired of it.
No. Did they ask you if you had any guns in the house?
You're
you laugh.
No, that's what they're doing.
No, they didn't ask me that.
When I went to my primary care physician because my shoulder was sore and I'd pulled a muscle in my shoulder, we spent half an hour discussing my smoking habits and whether or not I had any guns in my house.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man,
I'm like, you know, I don't know about all that, but my shoulder hurts. Can we take a look at that?
Oh my Lord. Did you just say that you didn't have any, or what did you tell him?
She asked if I had any guns in the home. I said no.
Oh, cool.
She didn't ask if I had any weapons.
That's not a doctor's business.
My gun is with me all the time, you know. It's kind of like that song by Hank Jr. Lady asked him something about his horse, and he said, no, my horse is between my legs and you're too fat to ride.
Oh, my Lord.
But she asked if his horse was parked outside.
Oh, Lord. Well, I haven't had any, because I don't go to the doctor because I try to keep healthy. So they better not ask me. I'm not sure what I'll do, but I'll just say, I'll just lie. I'll just say, oh,
I think Robert's parasailing.
He's what?
Leonie and Kathy and my dog are making me push their swing for them like a swing.
I can hear them just squeaking in the background.
That's what it is. You're making me push.
That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
And Leonie just told me push it hard.
I hope you're not still wearing the towel, Robert.
No, I'm not wearing the towel. That was a good story, wasn't it? I thought I'd share it with you guys.
I'm gonna
let you guys go because I'm gonna go for my.
Okay.
Six mile run so I can be in shape for the marathon that I'm going to run Labor Day weekend. So wish me
awesome.
A lot of luck.
Okay, listen, Robert, you keep that electric company away from that smart meter.
Absolutely. I knew you would be proud of me. That's why I called you.
Awesome.
Robert, is as short as your legs are, they should only have to run half of it.
Oh, God, what a low blow. I take so much abuse from you, Ron.
I can't help it. You wear it well.
If we were in Atlanta, we need to meet at the Highland Tap and tie one on.
Yeah, I don't go to Atlanta to consume anything.
Oh, you don't?
No, I stick with my own neighborhood. I'm kind of out of place down there. The last time I went down there, I almost got in a fight with a homeless guy.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. That's a frightening sight.
We were at a tea party thing downtown. Oh, God, this has been quite a while ago. And as we were all leaving, you know, there's 30,000 people down there for this tea party event. And we're walking in front of the state capitol, and across the street is the church where all the homeless guys hang out. And this one homeless guy got up off the stoop and started cussing at some elderly gentleman that was walking right in front of me. And I looked at him, I hollered, and I said, "Hey, home slice, have you bothered to look around? I mean, seriously, dude, look around. You're outnumbered. If I were you, I'd park my ass back on those stairs before you become a statistic."
Wow.
And he took my advice. He looked around and thought, you know, that white boy's right. And he parked his butt.
Wow.
I'm like, why you got to be like that? I mean, he just come out in the crowd and just started harassing this poor old white guy. I'm like, what's the purpose?
I know.
Because that's the moral of the story. It's us against them. That's the whole point. That's the whole society. It's us against them. You can tell who they are. I don't even walk into the grocery store anymore. I don't. Unless Leonie the money, and she does all the shopping for me, because I'm getting tired of people bumping into me for no reason at all. You know.
Well, if you weren't wearing that towel, you know, then you wouldn't have that problem at the Safeway.
I basically stunned the neighborhood with that scene.
You know, Rob, we're going to see Robert on People at Walmart wearing a kid and a towel.
But this is the clincher, Linda, before I hang up. This is the clincher of the story. What I told the guy is, if you plan on calling the British police to say I'm a sugar than crazy, they already know that, so don't waste your time.
That was the
end result of the whole story.
So you just keep an eye on it. Don't let him take a cold one. Yeah.
I have a 6-foot fence, and I always keep a lock. They can't do nothing.
Cool.
Okay. I'll try to catch you Wednesday night on your show, Linda.
Okay, awesome. It should be good if somebody calls in.
That'll be good. Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care. Okay. He's too funny. Oh, that's a visual, Ron. The towel and the... Oh, that is so funny.
Yep. And an old pair of kids, you know?
I can well imagine the guy, the meter reader. That's really... Oh, my Lord. I'm hoping that he wins his battles, because I know how pushy these guys are. They were very sneaky when they came to my sister's neighborhood. They didn't announce it. They didn't even give them a warning. Nothing. And so I don't know what the result is, because I don't talk to her about it, because I don't think they want to fight it. So I don't know why. But, I mean, they have all the options now, because I know that even SDG&E has the opt-out program, so it's up to the individual. So, but, again... You know, I'm doing everything. And the lady that I was, one of the people I'm doing the walking and the phone banking for, had put out a piece that, you know, of her, like a one-page or two-page kind of blurb on what she stands for. And there was stuff in there about Oceanside being a city. So I'm going to be holding her feet to the fire and asking her very nicely, Esther, what does sustainable community mean to you? I think that's how I'm going to approach it. Just say, define that.
You have got to get your people involved with Procinct.
Okay.
Okay. It's a free software program you can download.
Okay.
And it's specifically for exactly what you're doing.
Okay.
When you're going out to canvas neighborhoods, knock on doors, that kind of thing. What you need is you need the Procinct, and then you need a copy of the last election voter rolls.
Right.
Okay,
we got
which your chairman will have. And what you can do is you put in that list, and it will collate that list based on the people that actually voted. So it will highlight the address and phone number of everyone who voted Republican in the last election that's in your precinct.
Okay.
And then it will grid them out by street.
Oh, all
right. So that you can, if you have a smartphone, you can download that to someone's smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're canvassing the neighborhood, it shows you, here's the house, go up, knock on the door.
Wow.
Instead of knocking on every door.
Sure.
And getting the door slammed in your face, you know, 9 times out of 10.
Exactly.
So you're not wasting effort.
Right. In the areas that we're walking, we're trying to reelect Jim Wood for mayor. Okay. Most people know him. They know that he's a pro-senior person, you know, the senior community. And we're targeting them first because they vote by mail. And
right.
That's why we're doing that. But once we go outside that realm, outside the mobile homes and outside these senior centers and you know, all these senior villages, we call them, that's going to be a great tool to have. Exactly. We just want to make sure that we have a balance on the city council because we've got 3 people who are always voting against Esther and Jim on very major issues, and a lot of it has to do with the Sandag and the transportation element and the, you know, the Agenda 21 garbage that we're fighting against. And some of the people, or most of the people on both sides of the aisle, by the way, which is no surprise to you, are completely unaware of ICLEI and Agenda 21. But that's part of my job. And I just want to ask her, because if I'm promoting her, I want to know what she's talking about. I've given her stuff, but she's never actually called me back on it because she's in campaign mode. But her headquarters is right down the street. I could actually walk there if I had to. So
sure.
I'm going to nail her on. Huh?
Absolutely. And the other thing in that is that, you know, a lot of folks, if they don't recognize the name or whatever, they'll
right.
just vote straight Republican ticket or straight Democrat ticket.
Oh, I've got,
And
party
so,
line
you know, if you've got a guy that's an establishment guy, and then you've got another Republican that's challenging him that's not an establishment guy.
Right.
You know, that's where it's really important to have that precinct so that you can target those people and say, well, you know, I know you voted for, you know, so-and-so last time around, but, you know, and so you start out the conversation. What do you think about the sustainable development, blah, 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 blah. If they're not sure of it, then you enlighten them a bit and say, you know, he's in favor of this.
Right.
But we do have a strong conservative Republican that is not in favor of this, that's on the ballot, just so you're aware of that. So it makes it more targeted and help get those people out to actually turn out to vote.
Sure.
So that you can override some of these jackwads that are in there.
Exactly. And I think that's maybe the way I need to go about it. Absolutely. So, but what I was doing when I was doing the phone banking, and I would notice that they were either R or D, whatever, and then and some of these folks are elderly, so they get crotchety at this, you know, when you're calling them out of the blue, and they'll say, well, if he's a Republican, I won't vote for him. And the other one would say, well, if he's a Democrat, I mean, it's like these people are party line thinkers, but that's of that generation, so that's, you know, what I'm up against right now. However, when I go walking, I'll have in the next two months, a better avenue to go, because on my sheets, I know, you know, which ones are voting not by mail and which ones are voting party lines and which ones, you know, pretty much from the ROV, the Registrar of Voters information that's right on my walk piece. So that'll help.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you a link. I'm not seeing the, I'm going to put it up in the chat. I'm not seeing the, it's prosynct.net. So it's right on their video. But this is a YouTube.
I've seen that. Yeah. Okay.
And he just, in the
video,
he just explains exactly what they do, how it works.
Wow.
It's truly amazing. And I don't know why you know, everybody in the flipping country isn't using this software, and it's free. There's no charge. The guy that created it, he said it's free. You know, we want you to use it because it's a tremendous tool. Hey, we got Bill back.
Yay. He hasn't called in yet. There he goes. All right. How's everything, Bill?
Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Good, good.
Now, what's everybody been talking about?
Oh, my gosh.
We were talking about Robert's towel.
Oh, no. We got through with Robert. He had to go do some family stuff, and then we're dealing with ProSync.net and talking about all the stuff I'm up against, walking neighborhoods and some of these clowns. You know, it's just never know what, because I don't care if it's RDI, these guys, if they don't know what you're talking about, I've got to enlighten them, especially on this Agenda 21 stuff. So,
well, I know what you mean about that. I want to tell you, I got to relate a little story that happened to me over the weekend on Sunday. Well, Seymour is a town of about 35, maybe 40,000 people.
Right.
And so it's got three parks, four parks. So the parks ain't really huge. Middle of town, three blocks from the police station and City Hall. I'm at the park with my family at a reunion.
Okay.
And I walk over to the restroom, and I'm walking back from the restroom to the shelter house. And I walk by this pine tree. It's got like a flower bed around it, you know. And there's like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 marijuana plants growing in right here in the middle of town, three blocks from the police station. Double blocks from City Hall. The grass has been cut. All the other trees have been weeded around. And right here, in the middle of the park, where everybody can see it.
Oh, my God.
You know, I got family that we're from all over, so everybody's from other towns. They're here, like, oh, my God. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Because there was just an article week before last in the paper. If you see something green, turn it in, you know, talking about marijuana in the cornfields and the soybean fields. And if they were in the soybean fields, you wouldn't see the crap because the soybeans are about 3 feet high and green, green.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But
so
you can't find it in the middle of town?
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. So what did you do about it?
Well, I put an ad in the paper about it to the citizens of how good that looked. And asked if it was the mayor's stash or what, and it was on a recommendation in the Seymour Daily Tribune on, I can get on the internet, triptown.com.
Sure.
And in my recommendation, I recommended they cut that stuff, walk it around the corner, there's a plant right there, walk it around the corner to their boiler room, because that's where the state police and others around here, when they confiscate marijuana, they take it there to burn it, to dispose of it, to their system.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Do they have a smoking lounge in that facility?
Well, actually, at one time, I actually had the job, and that's what I did. I worked there. I liked it out in the boiler room. At the time, I was deep into my God and my word, and I was reading my Bible, and it was a perfect job because I had a lot of free time, and I would just sit out there by myself and read my Bible.
Cool.
And, when they would bring it in, they'd bring it in like a deuce and a half load or whatever. There'd be so much of it, they'd be putting the damn... You'd have to tell them to hold up because the boilers couldn't burn it fast enough. It was smothering them out. And these guys would leave, and I'd be out there for 2 or 3 hours sleeping up buds and stuff, laying all over the ground where they left.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And I'd be looking at the top of the smokestack thinking, watching it blow across town thinking... Wonder how many people on the other side of town's got the munchies about now.
Yeah, that's
and they burned everything there. I mean, cocaine, everything,
wow.
All confiscated, paper files and stuff. It does, you know, it serves a purpose around the city there for stuff like that, disposing of those kinds of things that are confidential or contraband.
Right.
But the whole point is, this thing ain't even. Maybe a block from where that's done.
That is hysterical. Oh, my gosh. Well, that's not a good place for it, though.
No, but it shows that people aren't paying attention.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. It's amazing.
This step was 2 feet tall.
Wow.
And you're like, how could they not see that? And then, you know, whoever mowed the grass had to see that.
But that's bizarre, yeah. And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say...
all the weeds was pulled out of the flower bed except him.
Completely off the subject and you know, kind of back to the topic that Bill had started before Robert and I kind of took over. I'm gonna have to go into the RNC convention rules and look up rule number 40 because I'm reading their amendment to the rule that they just made, rule 16A2. The text of the rule, for any manner of binding or allocating delegates under these rules, if a delegate casts a vote for a presidential candidate at the national convention inconsistent with the delegate's obligation under state law or state party rule, number two, nominates or demonstrates support under rule 40 for a presidential candidate other than the one to whom the delegate is bound. So it could be if you're carrying his button or have on a T-shirt for someone other than the person you're bound for, that you're automatically kicked out.
Wow.
And your vote will be recorded for the guy you were bound to.
Good grief. Wow.
Now, I did hear Mike Church say this morning that he was in utter amazement. He's broadcasting live from the RNC, and he said somehow or another a group of Ron Paul supporters, delegates, were able to get into the convention center and unfurl a 20-foot-long banner. He said, I don't know how in the hell they got that in because the security is amazing.
Oh, I'll bet.
He said had to have it, like, you know, Velcroed and you know, like lettered. He said it was huge. It was 20 plus feet long.
That's funny. Oh my gosh.
So I mean, you know, they're very inventive. Nothing else.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
I'm really not surprised because it's like something you pointed out before. You can get anything into a prison. So this is a convention. It ought to be even easier.
That's true. Oh my Lord. I'm amazed because I heard that security is pretty heavy.
Well, we face a problem because you can't really start a third party because everything is set against a third party. And if you've got an establishment that's going to set rules to keep the people's voice really out of things, then what have you got?
Right. What's the point?
I know.
And you're absolutely right, Bill. I mean, you know, we see the stumbling blocks and hurdles that are laid down within the party itself for a party member. Imagine the roadblocks placed by both parties.
Wow.
A third party.
It's currently still in my mind thinking, Jesus, people, McCain beat him last time.
That's true.
I mean, come on.
Well, he beat Ron Paul last time, too.
Yeah, but it's always in the fix.
Yeah, but I got to admit, Ron, I'm really seeing in the last few months and stuff, in the last 6 months to 9 months maybe even, the exact low-down tactics that the right GOP establishment is willing to use. I saw it during the debates and other nominations when, let's face it, the Romney campaign attacked other people then more vehemently than they're doing now.
Yep.
And I think we're still in that rut that I talked about before, where it was Bush and Clinton and GW, Obama, either candidate we choose, we're getting screwed. Because
they're
working for the same damn people.
Oh, God, not Ron Howard.
Well, that's bad, yeah.
But, you know, you're absolutely right. And, you know, the thing is, they wonder why there's such low turnout, number one, for voting. And this is exactly why, because people become disenfranchised. Unless you're in a position like yourself or Linda, okay, where you can be intimately involved on a daily basis, you don't have a prayer. You know, all of our GOP stuff here locally is always done on a Saturday. All their meet and greets, their breakfasts and everything. And I got very offended at a lady who was, you know, getting her snoot full at the damn county convention. Well, I've put in my time, and I've gone to the breakfast, and I did this, and I did that. And I said, well, I'm glad you have the freedom and the time to do that. Unlike you, I have to work for a living. And
right.
My job requires that I'm there from 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. on Saturdays. So as much as I would like to be more involved, I do have other obligations.
Well, I understand that. And there is so much going on that wrong, even with the time that I have spending and trying to research and stuff, I can't begin to keep up with all of it. Because it's coming from every angle at every... It's just ridiculous.
And I go in and I see, you hear the talking points, okay? And they're the GOP, you know, the Cherokee County Republican Party... We're for limited government, you know, more local control, yada, 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 yada. Horse manure. I mean, it's just, it's bull.
I have to agree with you, it is. As I said today, you know, I look at things, and some guy was saying, well, somebody says and such should run, or this, that, and I'm like, my problem is, when I see all this going on both sides, and... You know, I'm an independent. There ain't a Democrat I find out there that I would even want to vote for. I had a Democrat in this state once that I thought was all right. He wasn't as bad as some of the other Democrats, but he still wasn't someone I would have been out on a limb for, and that would have been Evan Bayh. But
you know, we have one.
I can't find nobody I can trust, Rob.
Well, that's just it, you know, and that's kind of what I was alluding to. Earlier with my guy at work, when I was talking about Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and all these other entitlement programs, I said it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room that nobody wants to talk about.
Right.
All they want to talk about is they go out and we're going to fix Social Security. Well, the reason they're saying that is because they know that, you know, 30%+ of the voting block is on Social Security. So they're trying to win those votes. But the reality
I would tell them, dig in your damn pockets and pay back the money that you borrowed from it that you never did pay back.
Well, right. And that's a whole nother conversation. But the problem, and my guy looks at me and he goes, but Social Security was a good idea. And I said, absolutely not. It was a horrible idea. It sounded like a good idea at the time. Any time that you put forth a plan to help someone out, to you know, give them some sense of security and make sure that they're not destitute and homeless, it sounds like a good idea. It plays on your emotions. It pulls on your heartstrings. But what we see now is the reason it's not a good idea and never was. Is that we now have roughly 5% of the bill for the remainder of the population. Not working.
You're fading in and out.
Fading.
And the one thing that, you know, I expressed to him, I asked him, you know, he understands. I said, do you have the right to come in on Tuesday on payday and tell the boss, I need $100 out of Ron's paycheck. Right. And he says, no, of course not. I said, so if you got 10 of your friends to come with you and you all said, we want $100 out of Ron's paycheck. Now, recognize you as an individual don't have the right. You as a collective group of people, even if there's 10,000 of you, don't have that as an individual. If all of its authority from we the people, where do you get the authority to give the government permission to do what you can't do yourself?
Yeah,
that's right. First of all, the government has no business in charity to begin with.
No.
Nope.
And it's not charity at that point.
It's theft.
Well, exactly. But they have taken what they call charity and turned it into entitlements. And it's, you know...
Stealing.
It's all it is.
Well, and you know why they call it...
We prove every natural disaster in this world. We prove, our citizenry proves, how giving and caring of people we are. The public gives more than the government does.
Of course. They're better stewards of it.
This is the insidious nature, the insidious nature of these entitlement programs. And the word entitlement is a perfect description. The reason that people feel entitled to that money is because they paid into the system. And that's the beauty of the system and the horrificness of the system.
Well, I'd have rather kept the money.
Because they paid money in, they expect to get a return on their investment.
I would have rather kept the money and made my own investings with it and stuff.
Of course.
That's me.
Absolutely.
I've been saying that for years.
But you know what happens is this entitlement program, albeit with the best of intentions, we'll just give them the benefit of the doubt on that. What ends up happening is it breaks up the community.
Right.
Okay, and it diminishes charitable contributions and donations to community houses, whether it's churches or, you know, community pantries and that kind of thing, because people resent donate at a rate that they have no control over. And so there's a group of people that become dependent, and once they're dependent, then they begin making demands. And others that are paying for those demands begin to resent them, and it splits and divides communities.
Right. So doesn't this go all the way back to the ideology of pure socialism or even fascism, where you have social engineering, planning, economic planning, and all that stuff?
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, that's what I thought.
The purest form of socialism is prison.
Well, I know that, but I mean, while we're running around being serfs is what I'm talking about, like now. So, yeah, no, because it seems to be that when these were implemented, there was a huge early 20th century progressive movement going on, and it was steeped in socialist ideas, or at least Mussolini ideas. Whether they use the power of the gun or not, it's another story, but it still has the same results.
Well, you're correct there, it does. And it always has, no matter where they've took it to. And socialism has hit Scotch from here to there to here to there, and every place it went and landed, it still failed.
Sure.
Certainly. And, you know, and you're exactly right, Linda. And when you go back in history, and I know you've been reading a lot of history, you begin to realize that this whole progressive ideology started in the 1700s.
Well, I didn't get that far back, but I do know about the 20s and 30s. I'm getting this from Hayek, so it's starting to make sense.
Right. If you go back to Hegel, Professor Hegel seems to be like the fulcrum point.
Okay.
When Hegel was teaching in the university over in Germany, and a lot of folks were being educated over in the German universities, mm-hmm. Karl Marx is one.
Right.
Marx really struggled, as we talked about, with Hegel's philosophy, because Marx saw a different, he wanted a
right.
different outcome than, you know, total control by the ruling class. He despised the ruling class. So I think in that sense, Marx
right.
sometimes gets a really bad rap.
Sure.
But he agreed with all the other means to an end of
sure.
getting to that point, his utopian ideology.
Exactly.
And that's really where that stuff, I mean, it just permeated
sure.
from the mid to late 1700s, and it grew, it snowballed.
Yep. Well, it especially in Europe, but then it seeped over here quite nicely at the beginning of the 20th century. You know, with, I mean, look at the people we had. We had Teddy, we had FDR, we had Wilson, we had everybody and their brother-in-law involved with this Fabian socialist garbage.
If you truly look at socialism, okay, or communism,
sure.
If you just boil it down to its basic tenets, what we're really talking about is monarchy.
Well, yeah, and it's
just another way of saying monarchy.
It's a divine right of kings.
And in a way, it's instituting a class system, the high elite class and everybody else.
Oligarchies, precisely. Monarchies, evil.
Yeah.
Precisely. And that's really the whole philosophy. I've said it a million times. If you want to understand it,
okay,
real simple. All you got to do is read a third of one book. If you'll read the first third of Plato's Republic, you got it. You got it down pat.
That's
okay.
It.
Yeah, and I've got that saved somewhere in my computer. So
and, you know, a lot of the stuff is just so obvious anymore, some of these ideologies that are being used. You had a first lady at an event the other night, and she quotes pretty much word for word two paragraphs of Alinsky. You know,
yeah,
and these people are so embedded now because the PC has made us, you know, where you
sure.
can't say things and stuff, supposedly. But when you look, when the Communist Party, the Socialist Party, and all these are supporting Barack Obama coming right under the open and doing it, and you
yeah.
know, 50, 60 years ago, they wouldn't have done that.
It wouldn't have flown as easily as today, exactly.
You would not have wanted to burn an American flag in the 1930s in this country.
No. I think the boys coming, you know, or getting ready to go would have had something to say about it.
It wouldn't have been them. It would have been anybody, a farmer, anybody like that. You know, you just wouldn't have by with it.
Now, if you want to know, Linda, I was just going to tell you, Plato's Republic was written
right.
in 380 B.C.,
Oh,
yep.
my gosh. I figured it was way back there. Yeah, I'll have to. I will. I promise. Once I'm done with this one. Because I'm.
Well, you just read the synopsis on Wikipedia. It'll tell you just about everything you need to know in a paragraph or two.
Okay. But I've got it. Go ahead.
He's one of the three worlds, old world philosophers or whatever. Him, Socrates, Aristotle.
Right.
And it's amazing that what he wrote, just like Ron says, you have to read it.
Mm-hmm.
It brings everything into a different
perspective.
It wakes you up. Yeah, it wakes you up.
Sure. Yeah, because we're grasping at straws if I just go into every decade or every century and try to find it. If I go back to the original writings, that makes sense.
Well, if you look at it, and I'm sitting here looking, Bertrand Russell breaks down Plato's Republic into three sections.
Okay.
Books 1 through 4, the utopia,
right.
Okay, so this is right off the bat. That's why I said all you got to do is read the first third of the book.
Okay.
The utopia portraying the ideal community and the education of the guardians parting from attempting to define justice.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's all you need.
Right.
And that's the play, whether they recognize it or not. They
right.
can call it social justice. They can call it by umpteen dozen
right.
other names. They are trying to implement Plato's Republic.
Right. And that's why Marx used those words, too, and Stalin and Lenin got grabbed onto them, and so did Saul Alinsky and everybody thereafter. And it did come from that story you're talking about, Plato's Republic. So
precisely. That's where all these philosophers got their philosophy from.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. So you know what? I'm gonna use that because I need to hammer home what they're trying to do with this Agenda 21, and it's right out of it. They want total freaking control of everything we do.
And you know, it's exactly what I told you. If you look at Madam Pelosi and many of the others, you can literally see it
in
their arrogance. I mean, it oozes from them, and they honest to God believe that they were divinely chosen.
Right.
And they have so much more vast knowledge. They think they're so much more superior to everyone else. And it's not through anything they did. It was just a gift. And they're supposed to be the rulers. And we're supposed to be grateful.
Oh, yeah. It's the divine right of kings attitude.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I said it. It's nothing more than another form of monarchy.
It's the God syndrome. They think they're gods.
So does Soros. So does Maurice Strong. I mean, they all do.
Well, you know, all the global elites think this. And Ron is so right. You look at him, you can see it. You can see it in their faces, the arrogance. I mean, I have never seen a man in my life come out and lift his chin in the air in the arrogance that Obama
Il
does.
Duce. Mussolini did it.
And the thing is, he's not that smart.
No. I know. He's disgusting. He's cunning, as Mike used to say on his show.
Well indoctrinated in the methods.
He's steeped in it, sure.
That doesn't make him smart.
It's true.
Well, you know, prisons are full of people like him.
Yes. He's a one-trick pony.
I've seen con man every bit as good that if they could get in front of a mic would be just as good as him.
Yep. It's crazy.
And that's what he is. He is a con man. He is an actor.
Oh, yeah. He's good at his job, but they're still pulling his strings, you know. To the extent that they're doing it, I think they made him mad. He made them mad with the Keystone thing. I don't know, but
he did. Well, that was what Lindsey Williams said, you know, I regardless of what people think of Lindsey, he's had some pretty doggone good information over the years.
Sure. From the inside. So, well. That maybe that's why everything's coming out in the open, like you said, and that you called it that it was going to start breaking down and melting down because of that, and because they don't want him back in.
Well, that's why I've been saying all along that the presidential election, if it's between Obama and Romney, well then that's not my major concern. My major concern is the Senate, the Congress, the state level, and local levels. Those are my main interests, because I don't see that either one of them is going to, you know, I've said all along, the GOP establishment wants to power over us the same as the Democratic establishment does. All they're doing is jockeying for position to see who's going to be in charge when it comes down.
So here's the thing. It doesn't matter who's in there. There has to be people held accountable, and we got to put the screws to them, hold their feet to the fire. I don't care who it is, and we got to do it from the jump. I mean... 2 minutes before he's inaugurated, I would be sending letters. You know, you do this, and you're healthy enough. You may outlive me, but I'll haunt you. You do this to my country. I will. I'll tell him. I don't care. I'm old enough. You know,
I look at it, if Obama gets reelected, well, it's over.
Well, I know that. But,
and if Romney gets reelected, well, as long as we can take the Senate and the Congress and have some good fighters in there fighting against it and stuff, I think we can hold off and hopefully somehow, some way, get a true conservative 2016 to replace Romney.
Well, I wish I had your hope. I agree. If Obama is reelected, I think we're done very soon.
Yeah,
that's why I turned into Jeremiah Johnson.
If Romney is elected, I think they will pull out all the stops to try and save the Titanic. But
sure.
In the end, I think it's sunk.
Yeah.
We've already hit the iceberg.
Yeah.
You know, the captain's having cocktails with a blonde up on the helm, and the crew has just realized that there aren't any damn lifeboats.
Yep, that's
well,
true.
You know, the financial crash is going to come. There's no out of that. We know all about that. There's no out of that. There's no out of a. We're going to see a huge jump in prices and probably see food shortages because they're being engineered to be shortages.
Yep.
No one's smart enough to wake up. I read the media, and the media's saying, oh, how the crops was devastated. Ron, I'm here to tell you, brother, that ain't true. That is not true. The crops were not devastated here.
Well, I know it was. I know that was true back home in Illinois. Where my mother still lives, she said it was pretty terrible. But here's the thing, and remember I said this months and months ago, that if you get a Republican nominated as president, and if you get a majority in the House and the Senate, and you see a financial collapse, the whole country... You wouldn't have a snowball's chance in Hades of electing a Republican to office in 2016 because they're going to get the blame. They're absolutely going to get the blame.
Oh, yeah. And somehow Obama slipped through it 4 years of total disaster and never got the blame for anything.
Yep.
It's disgusting. I know.
But it's the game that's being played.
I know.
Meanwhile,
I hate it.
Meanwhile, the stage is being set. For a holy war, I'm telling you.
Oh, my God.
They've been playing this. They've been beating this drum for a while.
Oh, yep. You've heard me talk about that, Ron, in my opinion, and all that, too, that was a major thing they were trying to play off was a war between Islam and Christianity because they want to reduce the population, and that's the fastest way to reduce an amount without utterly just killing them yourself.
Yep. The two largest groups of people on the planet, not counting the Chinese, are Christians and Muslims.
It's unbelievable. I got about 2 minutes. You guys want to say something, Ron, first?
Hey, thanks for having me on. And, you know, Bill, sorry to rob a good portion of your show tonight, but always good to be on with you guys. And
you seem that you was in on the whole point of it all, Ron, the scheming by the GOP committee, establishment, and it's just wrong.
And that's all it is. It's establishment BS. And,
well,
you know, again,
wrong
you know,
is
Mike,
wrong no matter what.
Right. Michael's talking about makes you wonder why the votes aren't counted in the U.S. You know, who cares where they count them? Because it's the popular vote doesn't matter. It's the Electoral College. That's the only thing that matters. The convention mattered to get a nominee up there, a candidate, but other than that, it doesn't matter. The people vote.
Our true jobs are to convince the delegates how to vote. That's it.
Right.
And you see how effective that is.
Oh, yeah. It was a discouraging day.
Yeah, we got in and we got Blog Talk to work, and I got about 30 seconds. And Bill, thanks for calling in. Ron, thanks for calling in, and everybody out there, we've got.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys
and Mike
so
and everybody.
Much.
Yeah, God bless you guys.
God bless
you, Linda. God bless y'all.
Thanks so much.